Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the NCAA tournament, just kind of get past and do your job and move on.
I mean, I feel like it's every game. You know, we play in the NFL. Every team we play is more than capable of winning each and every week. You know, they came out, they had a really good game plan, offense and defensively. You know, they're a team that's establishing a culture with their head coach. You know, it seems like they're doing things the right way over there. They came ready to play today.
Josh, get a little mic closer to you, sir. Thank you.
Josh, first half, y'all come out on first quarter. You come out on fire, you know, not a problem. Second quarter, you know, you got behind the sticks there a little bit, losing rhythm. What attribute to losing that rhythm in the second quarter?
Just got to stay in front of the sticks. You know, we weren't doing ourselves any favors. A couple boneheaded penalties, boneheaded mistakes, throwing a pick doesn't help. Defense had our back though. You know, they played great all night tonight or all day today, and you know, again, just gotta keep finding ways to keep moving the ball, staying in front of the chains, first downs, you know, and again, not turning the ball over.
What did you recognize what the Saints defense was trying to do to you guys?
Early on, they were playing a lot of man, you know, and we had a little bit of success on some crossing patterns, and then they really started to, you know, drop back and play some of their zone and two-high coverage and really force some things underneath. And, you know, I thought their defensive line is one of the better units in the league. They got some studs over there, Carl Granderson. Wyoming Cowboy, he got me tonight, I think. So, yeah, it's a really good defensive front, and you know, we gotta be better on offense, and you know, it starts with me.
Hey, what happened on that fourth down play, the little shovel to Shakir? It looked like they knew it was coming, but can you explain how that maybe broke down?
Yeah, I mean, I toss it to Cleo there, and I run the other way. You know, seems like they just made a really good play. Yeah. I couldn't tell because I really wasn't watching. So,
is that a play though, where maybe you'd like to just kind of pound it up there with either James or maybe play fake?
I mean, hindsight's 20/20. You know, we've ran that play before, had some success with it. So, you know, I won't dispute anything Joe calls because it typically works.
Back game where you found Dalton on kind of that wheel down the sideline. What does Dalton do from a route running standpoint that makes that play work so well?
Well, I think it's his willingness to block. You know, a lot of the time today we were asking him to block for some of our, whether it be jet sweeps or outside throws to Khalil. And when defenders know that, they kind of have to pick their poison. They either run up and try to cover under what's behind Dalton and allowing him to stock block and go, or they play over the top and then I throw the check down. So it's his willingness to block that's getting, you know, giving defenses trouble because they don't really know what to do in those situations.
Josh, can you tell us a little bit just what you're witnessing in the evolution of James' game overall in his first four games this season?
I mean, it seems like he's getting better each and every week, which is hard to imagine. The way that he kind of has this patient to hit the hole, but when he hits it, I mean, he's shot out of a cannon. His contact balance is unbelievable. His jump cuts are awesome. You know, glad he's on our team.
Josh, what happened on that scramble play, the one right before the Dalton touchdown, actually? You know, for a while, things were starting to stall out. Felt like you kind of put it on yourself to try and make a play there.
Yeah, third and about five. Just kind of got to the back of my drop, was feeling a little bit at the feet, and just decided to tuck it. I'm kicking myself, though, because Dalton ran a fantastic route, and it would have been an easy completion. But decided to make it a little harder on ourselves and do that. But again, just trying to do what I can do to help this team win football games, and needed a first down there, and just that's all I was trying to do.
Josh, Cole Bishop interception. very Micah Hyde-ish.
It was. I'd agree there. It was body language and body control, very much so.
What was your reaction?
Awesome. I mean, kept them out of points right before the half, and you know they were receiving the ball in the second half, and you know we called that double dipping, and we stopped them before the half in three and out. I think coming out of halftime and got the ball back and scored. So that's situational football. That's something Coach McDermott constantly preaches, and just happy that we can go out there and execute that.
I understand you have to deal with the defenses, you know, giving you and all of that. But for a while in the fourth quarter, you know, their attempts were pretty low compared to what they normally are. How difficult as a competitor is that for you to sometimes not be the one who is being asked to always make the big play or do like what you did on the scramble and ultimately make that play?
Whenever my number's called, you know, whatever that may be, I'm just trying to make sure that I'm there to make the play. And, you know, flows and ebbs and flows of the game, you know, it switches every week. You never know what situation you're going to find yourself in. Obviously, today was a little bit different situation. But, again, just doing what I'm asked to do, you know, whenever the plays needed to be made, just go out there and try to make them.
Jepson Haas has been great, blocking obviously, but he always seems to get open for at least one big play per game. What has he meant to the versatility of this offense and just through the first 4 weeks of the season?
Yeah, I mean, when we roll out our 13 personnel with Dalton, Dawson, and Haas, you know, you have to be ready for us to run it. But he gives us that element, you know, what, you know, if we make it out, it's not always Dalton or Dawson coming out and making a play. He's more than capable of making these plays, and he's shown that over the course of these first four games.
Josh, you kind of like these past four games of putting it together, not the way you want to, but you're averaging 30 points. How scary could this offense really be once you guys really get the clicking?
I mean, again, we want to go out there and we want to score every single drive. You know, anytime that we stall or turn the ball over or punt for that matter, we feel like it's a disappointment. Again, we're going to watch this film and try to learn from it and, you know, put ourselves in better situations early on in the game and, you know, try to stay as two-dimensional as possible and go from there.
I was going to say, you know, to Buki's question, you guys have scored 30 or more in every single game, right? So the floor is certainly high. I mean, how comforting is knowing that? Like, you know, you guys have really raised the floor with this offense, even on the day when you said you guys made some boneheaded mistakes, put yourselves behind the sticks. To be able to still have that output, I mean, what is that a credit to?
That's a credit to everybody doing their job, not blinking when it comes down to it, and making the plays when they need to be made, and just trusting what Joe's calling.
Thanks.
Hey, guys.
Okay, good to get a win. Great to do it at home in front of our fans. Again, great turnout. Beautiful day in Western New York. Couldn't ask for anything more. Glory to God for the weather, for the win, and all his blessings, and I thought the team really came together in the second half. We weren't really playing complimentary brand of football in the first half, and came out in the second half with a little more energy and attitude, and I thought that showed on the first drive for defense, first drive for offense. Still a lot to work on. It was good to see James, you know, break the record that he did, the franchise record, and I'm happy for him. There's a lot of hard work that's gone into that, not just from him, but for all those around him and O-line and all those involved, Coach Cromer, all the offensive coaches to the work that they put in there, Brady, Coach Brady as well, and Coach Gund. And then Cole Bishop getting his first NFL interception. Great to see. He's worked hard, and he continues to grow every week. And I think that's it. So time is yours.
Coach, just care to talk about Cole Bishop in that play. How important and how impactful was that play? Kind of like Micah Hyde just a little bit. I kind of thought he was still out there, but just care to talk about his
play. Well, it was a huge play in the game. If you kind of really think about it big picture due to the, you know, they're getting the ball after half. They're down there inside of, you know, whatever it was, 2-3 minutes to play, maybe less. And, you know, they score before half potentially. They, you know, they come out with the ball after half, and now you're talking about a potentially – you know, 14 play or a 14 point situation there. So big time play, and it was, you know, they ran a gadget there and Colt did a great job sniffing it out.
What's your reaction to the penalties, just the number of them that you guys took?
Yeah, you know, we own them, and we got to get them fixed. So, you know, I'll look at, take a hard look at them and make sure that, you know, we're teaching the right things and we're executing the right things technique wise. You can't beat yourself.
Sean, operationally with the timeouts, obviously you want all of them late. What went into those two moments when you had that kind of?
Yeah, so starting on, we burn, another timeout. I believe it was in the first half. With the clock, the play clock running down, can't do that. You need timeouts. They're, like I said before, they're gold at the end of the half, end of the game. And we got lucky, quite honestly. We didn't have to use them because we didn't have any left, at the end of the game there. It was substitution-based. They did some no huddle. One in particular, the ball ended up on their sideline, which, when that happens, you're expecting to get someone stand over the ball. If the ball went out of bounds, in their coaching box, in the player's box there. So anyway, but regardless, we've got to do a better job of with our substitutions and managing those substitutions accordingly.
Hey, Sean, the situation was 21-19. You're at midfield. You had second and four, and James comes off the field, and you go run to Ray, run to Ty, and then a little –
Yeah.
So, but I mean, in that situation, thinking back, would you rather have James go on the field for one of those?
Well, we got to go back and look at it. Obviously, it wasn't good enough, so we'll go back and evaluate that.
Coach, how important was gap integrity coming out in that second half? It seems like they were running a lot of multiple sets, some motions and shifts, trying to get you off of your keys there. So what would you tell those guys at halftime, the importance of gap integrity?
Yeah, well, we start every week with that, the importance of doing your 1-11th, doing your job. I thought overall, they came out trying to run the football on us and keep the game, let's call it close, and they did a good job of that. And I thought we did a better job in the second half in some situations, but everything starts with gap integrity in the run game and doing your job and then tackling. I didn't think we could have tackled better than we did. So we go back and look at that as well and evaluate and try and grow from it. I think that's the important piece. Third downs were way better this go around, so that's a step in the right direction. And then closing the game out defensively was good to see us be able to get there with our front four, and the rush and coverage work together there. So there's a lot of there's enough signs of growth, but there's on the other side of that there's plenty of signs that we've got a lot more work to do. But
Sean,
I'm happy. I'll celebrate the win. That's for sure.
I'm sorry about that. Just saw Dorian Strong come in a few series for Tre'Davious White. What went through that decision?
Yeah, just looking at a young player and giving him some experience and some valuable reps, and it wasn't anything Trey didn't do. That was the plan going into the game.
And Sean, the decision to not have Codrington active, what went into that, and who you used on the returns? Yeah. What went into that?
Similar, just looking at different players, seeing how the roster, the game day roster looks with different players up, different players down. With the goal of making sure we have our best guys out there, as we head down the road here.
Walker and Phillips, that tandem, how impressive were you to see those two guys out there at the same time?
Yeah, two big guys. It was good to have Jordan up for this game, and he brings some things. He brings an edge to our defense. He loves to play. Plays with an edge.
Sean, your 90th win. Especially a tough game like today. How's that feel to hit that?
Yeah,
continuing to move up the win totals and the overall.
Yeah, what a blessing. What a blessing. It got a great staff around me through the years. Really good, great players around me, and you can't do this job by yourself. And extremely grateful. Grateful to God. Grateful for all those who have helped me over the years. And like I said, it's a true team effort. So. Trust me, I wasn't thinking about trying to get 90 during the game. That was a hard game, and we knew it was going to be tough. They're all tough. So, but I'm extremely grateful and grateful to the fans too, because a lot of those wins have happened at home. So they played a big part in it.
Coach, you're putting up 30 points, and you, like you just mentioned, there's room for growth, and you're hitting your stride. How scary could this team really be when things really can start to click and come in season?
Well, we'll see. I don't think we really know, Mookie, yet. We'll see. It's a week-to-week league. It's a hard league to win, so you celebrate every win and you learn. You learn from the wins. You learn from the ones that don't work out the way that you hope they work out. Right, Vic? You've been in this league a long time, a lot of you guys, right? And it's not easy. It's not easy, so it's good to get a 1 o'clock home win and a beautiful Sunday afternoon, and I'm going to go home and watch somebody else sweat it out a little bit here.
What was your reaction to
Josh on that final scoring drive at the throw to Dalton, obviously the run before him.
Yeah, the will to win. At halftime, I could tell he just had that look in his eye. And he's just got an incredible will to win and spirit about him. And I love it. Absolutely love it. And when he made that scramble run, I think, on one of those drives, and he just, when he raises his level of play, it's like, okay, boys, they raised their level of play. And they knew what time it was. And again, I should have credited when I started. The second half running game was legit. It really was. Coach Cromer, Coach Gunn, Joe calling those, dialing them up, and the O-line, all involved in the running game, did a phenomenal job. I think in the first half we had close to 60 yards, and to end with 165 is very impressive. That adjustment, and I thought the staff overall did a great job of communicating and making the adjustments we had to make to pull the game out. So, good. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.